The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Now, Catherine Fulvio, chef, food writer and owner of Ballynockan House and Cookery School. Hello.
Good afternoon, Brendan. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. Catherine, I believe congratulations are in order. Your US TV show has been nominated for a load of awards, but you were up for a Daytime Emmy, is that right?
I was up for Daytime Emmy in 2019, and it was just a fantastic experience, and it's something that you just, yeah, you live off of, really, isn't it? But so we have this TV show filmed here at Ballynockan that's aired on a channel called Recipe TV and other channels in the States. And it was nominated for 7 Taste Awards this year. Most of it was filmed in Wicklow, out and about in Wicklow, which is great because it gives the opportunity to showcase great local produce, which is what we all want to do at the moment. But over the summer, we did a quarantine edition as well, which was, Brenda, you couldn't make it up. You think, how could you ever make a show where the director's over in Los Angeles directing you over Zoom and your son is the main cameraman with his iPhone and your
really?
Daughter's jumping in with a secondary phone and she's going, close up on your mom, close up on your mom. Now mom turns to the camera and go, I just love my kids. You know, it's just so mad, but it worked. I'm exaggerating, but I just love my kids. Sorry, I should say that.
We all love our kids, even if it doesn't seem like it at times at the moment. We do. Are you filming a St. Patrick's Day episode at the moment? So I'm picturing that now, like, and a St. Patrick's Day episode for America. Like, are you happy St. Paddy's Day and a bit of Tura Lura and stuff, yeah?
It is a bit like that, but I've just finished it, actually. I put it up on social media with those pictures of shamrocks everywhere. But that said, it is not as twee as we think it is. Like, I work a lot with Americans coming to us in Ballynockan, and they're always amazed at how great the food is in Ireland. They have a preconceived notion that we're all about corned beef and cabbage and spuds. But when they come here, they realise we have such a broad variety of wonderful fresh ingredients that they don't have access to in the United States.
They still regard corned beef as something we'd have for dinner. Like when, like, geez, I'm not young, but like corned beef for me was that cold meat of varying qualities that you got. But like corned beef hasn't been a thing for yonks, has it? As a dinner, like.
Was it ever a thing? Sorry, no, I'm probably offended half the country.
Have you told them about hairy bacon, which would be the traditional St. Patrick's Day meal, wouldn't it?
Hairy bacon?
Did you not use the stuff with the awful rind on it, like. Hairy bacon, that was called, yeah.
No, but honestly, I suppose over the years I've had the opportunity to go to the States for St. Patrick's Day and support Tourism Ireland with promotions and for Ballynockan as well. And I get to do, and this year as well, I'm doing NBC's Today Show, which is fantastic, live from my own kitchen. But every year they do ask me, would I do corned beef and cabbage? Because Americans do believe that this is an actual Irish tradition, whereas in fact, it is a New York Irish tradition. When the Irish immigrants went to New York, they couldn't get ham. So they got corned beef in the Jewish quarters, and corned beef and cabbage became this Irish American tradition that all Americans think we eat in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. So I am on a mission to dispel that myth. So, for example, for this show that we've just done for St. Patrick's Day, I did beef short ribs in stout and orange because I wanted to bring a more kind of modern twist to it. Show yet again what great, fantastic beef and good quality farm ingredients we have in Ireland. That was just one example of what we made and, went down
very
well.
You see, that's the thing. Like, I suppose Ireland wouldn't traditionally have been regarded as a country with what you might call a cuisine, but obviously Irish food has become very sophisticated while still simple in the last while. Have they been keeping up with that in America? Do we have a reputation now for more sophisticated food?
Very much so. Like, for example, some of the more successful Irish butter companies, they would sell in the organic shops now over in the United States. Like, people pay a huge premium for Irish quality produce. I would see the message that we are sending out about Irish food is great, fantastic, like regular ingredients like beef, lamb, seafood, the kind of traditional ingredients, but that we have a wonderful tapestry interwoven into that of all these beautiful artisanal products that we ourselves, because of COVID here in Ireland, have become so much more interested in as well.
We have totally reconnected, haven't we?
Very much so. And we're very much keen on supporting the local producers and trying their new product. They've been making that down the road for years. I always wondered what it tasted like. And we go and buy it and suddenly we're their new fans. So we're selling our food product, not just to ourselves here in Ireland, but this whole message is going international. And I think we have so much to offer. When you see, like the director was telling me that during lockdown in Los Angeles, they were paying $12 for 6 eggs in Los Angeles, for 6 good quality eggs during lockdown.
Wowza.
They cannot get good quality food, she said. And they are always amazed when they come to Ireland. They see it in the fields. They see it, you know, outside the vegetable shops on the streets as they drive through the towns. And they can see that we have fantastic product.
Yeah, and we are absolutely spoiled. Like, I mean, if you go anywhere else and eat a bit of lamb or a bit of beef or whatever, you realise how good what we get at home is. Do you think that people, has this, you know, the way the pandemic presses fast forward on history and everything, has it changed? Maybe more for the middle classes, but the relationship with food in the sense that a year ago, you know, you'd buy a chicken and you just wanted the cheapest chicken and that was it. But now, are people willing to spend a little bit more on good ingredients and stuff because maybe food has become more of a central pleasure in our lives again?
I think I agree with you totally. And it's not just because food has become a central pleasure and because we have time to think and plan more, but also I think we're much more concerned about our health from food. And actually, as it happens, I'm back studying nutrition. I've gone back to school. But it is all about the quality of the ingredients that we're nourishing our bodies with. So we're looking more towards the local produce, the local producer, and looking more for the story behind the food so that we know what we're eating is really good for us. So I think we've become more discerning across the board, not just because of the time, but also when the messages that are coming out all the time about COVID, well, we should be having more vitamin D. We need now the latest one is iron. I don't mean that in any disrespect. I mean, it is a fact. Now they're saying iron is very important. So we're now looking at the nutrients that we're getting from our food and in our diet. So therefore, we need to be discerning about what we're eating.
Yeah, there's a texter here says Irish food becoming sophisticated is a contradiction. Nonsense. But that's not really true, because you know what, texter? There is nothing more sophisticated than simplicity. And that's what sophistication is about, if you ask me. Catherine, I presume you don't have students at the cookery school in a Ballynockan bubble or anything. So have you, like Keith Barry and like Joe Wicks and everyone else, have you managed to pivot online?
Yes, and the word pivot gives me the heebie-jeebies every time I feel pressure. But no, actually, what we've done is we started with doing cook-alongs for corporates, which is going down a bomb. Like, I'm delighted with it. For example, I actually am at a realtor's estate annual meeting in America. I'm their chef that's going to be getting them to cook along with me. It's just, like, phenomenal what's happening. But what I actually did was in the big job that we took on, because I wanted to keep on my core staff as much as possible, I set up an online cookery school. So it's not just live cook-alongs, but they're downloadable classes. And I focus not just on short classes such as Southern Italian and Fab Mains and Desserts and all of that, but I have longer classes. I have a 13-week transition year course, and that has been phenomenally successful because the kids are at home and they're learning a new skill. And every week they have to cook a meal for their family. So the family, it's a win-win. Yeah. You buy the course, you get a meal made.
Okay, so fantastic.
It's been great for us.
Okay, and listen, before we get to the recipe, yet again, it's the little things always annoy people. So basically, it turns out that that in Cork, corned beef is still a delicacy. I know people had spiced beef for Christmas, but corned beef was a big Cork dish in the 60s and 70s. Brendan, you should be ashamed, says Jerry. Jerry, I wasn't around really in the 60s and 70s, so you're showing your age there. But you can still get great corned beef in the English market anyway. And people in Cork love their corned beef with parsley sauce, apparently, is
that
the thing.
That is true, with parsley sauce.
I'd rather a bit of hairy bacon. Okay, now, recipe-wise, you've got two recipes and we put them both up on rte.ie/Brendan. There's a beef and stout pie, but I want to talk about the curried mussel soup. I know this sounds tricksy and fancy, but the thing is, like, I suppose mussels, I would get them out, like, you know, and mussels and chips are usually fairly good price and everything. The idea of getting mussels, bringing them home and bothering to, like, I don't know, de-bearding, cleaning, all of it, it feels like a lot of hassle.
Not at all, Brendan. You just get your mussels home, you put them in cold water, They should close. If you tap them and they don't close, discard them. And all you do is you pull the beards off them. You can, if you want, then tap them to try and get the barnacles off. But nowadays, a lot of them come and they're fairly clean if you get them from your local fishmonger. So you don't have much work to do. Now, in this soup, there's a few different stages to it, but every stage is very useful. The first stage, you make the broth. So that's the mussels where you put them in the saucepan with the white wine or whatever. Mine has onion, garlic, red chili and fennel bulb, a little bit of white wine and vegetable stock. When that's cooked, if you wanted to, that could just be your meal with some lovely crusty bread.
Yeah.
But in the recipe, I strain off that broth. I pick the mussels out of their shells and I use the broth to make a soup. And the soup, the base of it is just a bit of butter, a bit of flour, a bit of Madras curry powder for that little bit of spice coming in,
yeah,
a little bit more vegetable stock, sherry for sweetness, your broth and cream. And there you have it. That's your soup. You put your mussels back in, job done. And
yeah,
you can decorate it if you want with a little bit of chopped up fennel or carrots or fennel fronds. But it's so incredibly easy. It's a little bit more sophisticated and it's very nourishing.
Yeah, and mussels do love a bit of spice, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And listen, are mussels in season all the time? You know, there used to be, wasn't it, a burr in the month like you had them? Are they in season all the time now?
I get them from around this time of the year. I can get them from my local fishmonger. So it's definitely a recipe for right now anyway.
OK. And listen, we're not going to have time for the beef and stout pie, but we'll put it up on the website. But just briefly, there's potato in the pastry.
Ah, this is an old recipe that I got when I was doing a cookery demo in Galway years ago. And it's a pastry as you'd know it, but it's using up the leftover mashed potato, a real canny Irish thing to do. But you know the texture of gnocchi, that lovely softness of gnocchi?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice, Brendan, because you have the crispiness on the top and then you've got that softness inside. And when you think about it, the sauce from the potato, the beef and Guinness, the beef and stout, just soaks into that lovely soft pastry. So it's beautiful.
Listen, Catherine Fulwood, this has been what the country's waiting for. Pastry crossed with mashed potato. If you could get pasta in there as well, we'd have the ultimate carb fest. Catherine Fulvio, thank you very much. That's all we have time for today.